There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here, live local talk. And we continue with our Get to Know the Candidate series, although this is one of those names you probably already know. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl joining us. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. And we'll, of course, be talking with you tomorrow night during the AL1 Congressional Debate live from the J.C. Davis Auditorium.
And I also wanted to thank you. I know you were the spearhead that set this the debate up, and I appreciate it. It'll help all the candidates get their message out a little better.
Tell me that Friday. Right now, I'm just...
No, I'm okay.
I mean, these pages over here, I'm trying to work through. Like, I had to do math. You know, I didn't think it'd be math on, you know, I figure, okay, well, number of questions, number of minutes, here's how we have to, how many questions we can have.
And just give me the list of the questions.
That's
and
right.
I'll tell you which ones.
Right. They're somewhere over here, but I got them turned over. Listen, a lot to talk about, of course, as you have been very, it seems no different to me. I'll say this as a compliment. It seems no different to me the amount of places I see you now when you're running for Congress is when I saw you when you're a county commissioner as well. I mean, you're kind of an everywhere kind of guy, Jerry.
Everybody calls me a retail politician.
I think that's a compliment, Jerry.
I do, but that's been my whole focus for the last 7 years. If I'm not with the people and listening to the people and the real problems, boots on the ground is just my – that's just who I am. I always refer to myself as a trench lieutenant. I'm great in the battlefield. Don't put me on the hill calling the shots, but, you know, because I spend time with the people.
Right.
And I enjoy that. That's where I actually learn.
Well, and let's talk about your evolution at this point to being here as through the county commission and running for AL1. You talk about it in your ads. You've talked about it before with us. Your background is in business.
Right, business. And that's what I brought to the county commission. That was my whole focus was unemployment. If you go back and check the numbers, my whole focus was unemployment. And I ran on a campaign of I was going to focus on unemployment. That was 13.5% at that time, and it's down to below 3% now. Now, I'd love to tell you I'm responsible
for
the reduction of that, all of it. We know that's not true, but I've worked very hard. I've worked very hard on the Airbus, Amazon, Walmart. I mean, I can go
think about
through
the times you've been on the show talking about all three of those.
Yeah, and you know that's part of me that I could never do without, and that's some of the things I want to take to Washington. You know, jobs here are great right now. Our unemployment rate's real good right now. But what's going to happen when the economy always goes in a swing?
That is correct.
And at some point, place in time, we're going to hit a recession. How are we going to be? How are we going to be prepared for that?
Okay. Well, hey, give me just a taste of that. So, what do you do? Because I agree with you. I mean, just look at the stats. I think all of us will look. Economies come and go. You have peaks and valleys. How do you do something when you're at a peak to make sure the valley's not so deep when you do enter it?
You spread it out. You increase the odds. You spread it out where you're not taking a direct hit. For example, if we lost Austell, we'd lose 4,500 jobs today, to give you some idea. So we've got to focus on those 4,500 jobs. Where else can we put those people should something happen? Now, nothing's going to happen to Austell. Congressman Burns done an incredible job,
right.
and I hope to get on the Armed Service Committee also.
I was going
to
ask you that.
And do the same thing, but from a business standpoint, you've just got to keep spreading yourself around. part-time jobs. You know, the Amazon, everybody cackled at me about the Amazon. They said, why do we need part-time jobs? I said, we got four major colleges here, and we have retired people that need that would like to make some extra income. It's perfect for that mm-hmm. little niche. So we can do that. Now, Washington is a unique place. Obviously, it's where all the money's at. So all these companies that come in and look at sites, site selection groups, they're all focused out of Washington, D.C. And what I'm proposing to do as a congressman is actually make sales calls and actually go see them and give them a business card. Say, you get to looking for a 1,300-acre site or you get to looking for a 100-acre site. Give me a call. Tell me what you're looking for. I will get you set up with the business community in Brewton, or I'll get you set up with the business community in Chatham or in Mobile. You know, it's a big district. We've got a lot of geographics. And we've got to start selling this district and taking it to them instead of waiting for them to come to us.
Yeah, and you got to hustle a lot to do that because if I could check correctly, I don't know if all 435, but there's a lot of people out there probably doing the same for their district.
Well, I don't know that they're quite as active as I am. The salesman in me would force me to do that.
Right.
And I don't relax real well. Okay. But, you know, I like being around the people. I like trying to put better deals together. I love seeing people improve their lives. I've proved that through my businesses. I mean, the people that work for me have been with me for years. And I love it when I see their families grow up. It's just, you know, it's one of those things of life that most people don't get a chance to do.
Now, when you would look at this from a federal perspective, and you mentioned something, you mentioned Armed Services Committee.
Right.
There are certain committee assignments that are important for AOL. I mean, any of them would be, but there are some that are more important than others. Agreed?
I think one that's being overlooked is the Ag Committee, Agriculture.
Okay.
Because you look at the six counties that are being represented in this district, it's heavy agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important. That's one committee I would love to be on. As we know, once the election's over with, we'll get up there and we'll start haggling over who gets what. And hopefully we'll have some good coaches up there to help me, you know, get on the right committees. But I think the agriculture committee is a good one to get on. Small business, you know, focusing on small businesses. It's great when you can land a Walmart and 1,000 jobs, but the backbone of America was built by small businesses, 5 and 6 employees, mom and pops. That's where we've all started from, and that's the backbone. We've got to secure them.
As you take your time as a county commissioner, I'm going to set this up for you, because I've said this before we even kind of got into this place in the race. I said, it is interesting as I look at other jobs in government, other political positions, and how they ready you for something else. And I've made this argument, it's not for you, it's just by the position. I think county commissioner is a good one.
I deal with most everything on a federal level, a state level, county level, and cities. I deal with the mayor's hands-on. I deal, obviously, with the different county commissioners, Mobile County and Baldwin County. I'm dealing with the state officials as well as the federal officials. So if it's not grants, it's infrastructure. If it's not infrastructure, it's something health care related. You know, I sit on the health department board, for example. The port, I sit on the port authority board. You know, so I've got exposure that these other candidates just don't have. They don't have, I don't know if experience is the right word, but they don't have exposure like I do. I mean, I'm just boots on the ground. I understand where things are broke, where they need to fix, how to fix.
All right, we'll do this. Run to the break. Come back more with Mobile County Commissioner and AL1 Republican candidate Jerry Carl. And grab some of your questions from the text line as well at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Our continue getting to know the candidates segment here as we're getting ready for tomorrow night's debate, Republican debate AL1. We have a open seat, something that's only happened, I think we figured out, three times since 1965. So we're talking about, and actually talking, you know, a couple months ago, sadly, about the anchor of that and Jack Edwards, you know what had.
I got to talk to him before he passed away, and I went over and spent I don't know half a day with him.
Wow,
what a neat guy! Just walking around showing you pictures of things that he was involved in. I had no idea how much he worked through. Because he was a minority up there.
That's what people think. AL1, they think about how strong of a Republican district this is. That's not always been true.
George Bush and his wife were some of him, who he brought in would try to teach the ropes up there, if you can think about going back that far. But just, we've had such good statesmen in AL1. Mm-hmm. We truly have, if you look at the history. And that's what people are actually looking for, that people understand and want to work with the people. I keep calling it boots on the ground, but they're looking for somebody that's not necessarily slick or got all the right answers, but somebody that's passionate about what they're doing and the people they're serving.
As you know, you have this situation here. You have Congressman Burns stepping down, running for Senate, and leaving this open. And obviously, a lot of people realize that this is, like you said, this is a very important. Of course, it's the most important district to me, you know, and you, sure, and all of us that live here. But it's also one that I would say is outsized, not in population, because populations are the same, but outsized over other congressional districts in the state. I'd say 1 in 5 are, maybe I'm just a homer, but we're bigger.
Well, we are bigger geographically.
Yes, geographically. Well, I'm saying in the number of different kinds of, because you talked about, you're in one conversation, the appointments that would be important would be defense, it would be ag, it would be fisheries, it would be oil and petroleum, oil and gas,
It's all over the spectrum, and it's not that way in all the districts in the state. And I understand that, and you understand that too. But the biggest thing we fight for in South Alabama, and with Mobile County Commission as well as Baldwin County Commission, we all the time have to combine forces and fight for money, because most of the money is going north of Montgomery. So we are constantly fighting with the state for to get our what we consider our fair share.
All right, I want to ask this question off what you've talked about in your ads. Fred texts in here, and y'all can text your questions to 343-0106, 343-0106. Fred says, as a Christian also, I'm attracted to Jerry Carl's campaign ad, as it claims Mr. Carl is 100% pro-life. Does this mean he will fight for the unborn in fervent attempts to reverse the 1973 abortion law? Thank you, Fred.
Yes, Fred. My wife has been involved in Save a Life for a number of years. We used to make washcloths of all things for the children. I am pro-life, have been, and will continue to fight for. I love to use the example, if you go and disturb a nest of turtle eggs on the beach, you've got a federal charge against you. You're going to spend time in prison. But yet you can abort a baby. Something's wrong with that picture. So I plan on going to Washington. I will serve this District 1. I will take those values, and pro-life is certainly one of the top of the list.
All right. This one from Tim is kind of combining what I was talking about last hour. But at the beginning, Tim says, if elected, what kind of measures would you take to try to help local officials and mayors in different cities along with Mobile try to solve the urban blight in our area instead of using annexation to try to solve or help their problems?
Well,
nice dig, Tim.
I think that's a local issue. I think that from a county commission standpoint, we've dealt with it. We've started destroying some homes. If we can't get them fixed up and cleaned up, the city has started doing the same. We've had to really stretch the law to be able to allow us to do that. We're not real comfortable with it, so it may take us a full year to get someone to agree that they're going to do nothing before we take control of it and actually tear it down. It's got to be a menace. It's got to be a health issue. It's got to be a safety issue. It's got a lot of things that has to match up. And I don't know that I want the federal government coming down here telling me everything that needs to be done. I'd rather trust my local elected leaders than I had the federal.
All right, and monitor up over your shoulder here in the studio. We have the live feed of the impeachment hearings going on today, day 2 this week, day 4, I think, total. So if you were already elected, if you had gotten elected and you're already in the House of Representatives, what would you be doing? What would you be saying to people back here in AL1 about what's going on in Washington?
Quit being distracted. I think this is a big hoax. Politicians, if they don't want you to focus on what's really going on, if they don't want you to focus on what your true needs are, because they know they can't help you or they don't want to tell you that, especially at election time, they create a distraction. And this is a pure distraction and using the president as a distraction. It is a waste of taxpayers' money. It is a waste of our time. I get frustrated when I get talking about it, but I tell people, quit being distracted. Figure out what we need. Tell me what we need to fix the problems that you have here in District 1, and that's what I'm going to focus on. But do not be distracted.
How will you deal with will there be issues, and I don't know what they are, you know, in the future, but there's got to be issues that would affect AL1 one way and affect the country the other way. In other words, or even maybe a conservative or Republican approach. You have an issue in Washington that you have, you know, AL1 has one set of interest here, but the mainstream Republican is going the other way. How do you deal with that?
Well, my personal management style is I'd like to talk to people behind closed doors and express my true feelings, mm-hmm. but I do like to come out as a team. And if we can't get to that point, and that does happen in a business standpoint, then you have to make a stand. You have to represent the people that sent you there. There's dealing with the Republicans and the Democrats. I mean, you've got to represent your people. They put you up there, they can take you out. Don't ever think that they can't do it. It's an easy process. That's why we have an election.
Yeah.
So it's something that is not an easy to do, is say no, especially to Big Brother and, you know, and in a large group. But it can be done in a graceful way behind closed doors.
Yeah, and that's interesting, the how much of it the American people think goes on behind closed doors versus how much might not, versus, you know, what has come out. By the time something comes out, people say, well, they've all talked about this ahead of time. Sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not.
Well, you got to be able to communicate with the other members in the House, especially the Alabama delegation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to be able to communicate. You've got to be able to share ideas, because Huntsville's needs are going to be different than Mobile, and at some point, place, and time, we've got to come together and figure out what's best for the state, but for our people as a whole. And that can be done. It has to be done. That's just good government.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've discussed in the past, even with folks who will be on the stage with you tomorrow night, is this issue of possibly losing a congressional district here in Alabama, which geographically makes one in some of the things I've seen grow in a weird gerrymandered way to even out. But the risk, I don't know that everybody's woken up to the risks of Alabama, is that's, number one, less voice. Number two, less electoral college force. But number three, less money coming into Alabama.
Well, instead of focusing on losing a district, I've been focusing on getting a 2020 count, a better count. On county commission, and the cities are also doing it, that we've got a massive push going to get people counted, and so we can have an accurate count. We've got a chance here not to lose it if we do our jobs on a local basis. If we lose it, we lose it. As much as I hate that, it's just not something I'm going to get bound up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a congressman, I may have to run against the same people that again next time. Mm-hmm. I may have to run against some of the an elected official from Montgomery, for example.
Right, if it goes that way, yeah.
District 2. But, you know, I'm not focused on that right now. I'm going to look on the positive side. You know, what's the vision? What's the vision for District 1? Where are we going with this? I try not to use scare tactics, you know, when talking to people. You want to talk about problems? We can talk about problems. Let's talk about deficit. You know, let's talk about $22 trillion. Do you know what you can do with $22 trillion? You can stack them up. Do you know how big that is? That's 58 times around the world. That's a stack. It's 3.5 times to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you start scaring people with problems, you better give them an answer.
Well, the question, and we have just less than a minute left here, you start talking about deficit spending. Yeah, where would you be on one of these big bills that comes in front of the House to sign off on a spending bill? It's got good things in it, but it's got deficit spending.
Yeah, I don't think we have a revenue problem. I think we got a spending problem, and I think we've got to sit down and we've got to start cleaning up some of our spending. Everyone wants to jump on grants and talk about how bad grants are. I'll use an example: law enforcement on holidays. We're able to have 1.5 times the normal law enforcement because of grants. So if you pull every grant away from everybody, you're really going to hurt the people themselves. But you got to start looking at what are some of these grants going to. We can do some internal auditing, and we've got to do that.
All right. Tell folks where to go online to get more information about you.
Jerry Carlone for Congress.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. And again, I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you very much for noticing. All right. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Tomorrow, busy, busy day. First of all, tomorrow during Midday Mobile, we will announce the grand prize winner for the Go Play Outside sweepstakes. And they will win almost $9,000 worth of goodies. Plus, we have a bunch of qualifying prizes at all our participating sponsors. So thanks to everybody who's taking part in this. And I can't wait to hear the person on the phone who wins. It's kind of fun. I get to be like Santa Claus a month or so early. So that happens tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening in Chickasaw at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. Big thank you to Adam Bourne and the Mobile Republican Party for making this possible, along with all the folks here at FM Talk 106.5 been working on this diligently for weeks and weeks and weeks, because we waited right there at qualifying time to make this announcement. So I've been working on it since then, and the folks at WKRG-TV as well. My buddy Peter Albrecht, who's the co-moderator, tomorrow night. So we start the debate at 6. If you're coming in person, love it. Make sure you get that Eventbrite ticket. It's a free ticket, but they use that system just to know how many chairs to have and all that for people. I would say get there 5:30 or so. Debate starts at 6. We're going to be starting to ask questions, and we're in the event, so hopefully you'll have your seat before then. So show up 5:15, 5:30, come visit for a little bit, and get ready for the debate. Debate will go from 6 to 7:30, right in there. All right, maybe by 7:31 to something like that, 7:30-ish for the end. Okay, at that point, we'll have had 90 minutes of the debate with the candidates, but we'll still be on the air here at FM Talk 106.5 with a recap until 8 o'clock. And actually, we start the broadcast a little after 5:30 tomorrow. So we start the pre-show, the pre-debate show, pre-game show, tomorrow at about 5:30, 5:35, right in there. And then we'll go live with the debate portion starting at 6, and then at 7:30 we'll wrap the debate and have a little discussion afterwards. So love to see you out there, but for sure, if you can't, remember you can listen to it here at FM Talk 106.5. You can listen to it on our stream at fmtalk1065.com. You'll be able to go on afterwards to our website or iTunes or Stitcher and get the podcast of it. It'll be waiting for you right there. Plus, from 6 to 7, it'll be live on WKRG TV and then on WKRG.com starting at 7. So a lot of ways to catch it. AL1 congressional debate. Hopefully you will be part of it tomorrow. All right, let's do this because, well, all this other stuff's been going on. The impeachment hearings continue in Washington, and we're gonna get you an update. This was about 30 minutes ago. Start off with Jim Himes and his question. A Democrat questioning Sondland here, and Sondland, the Democrats, they felt their star witness they were rolling out today. But isn't it each day that it's now their star witness? Today it's Sondland. So let's go to that. About a 10-minute clip here. This is from about 1 o'clock our time.
Mr. Himes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ambassador, thank you for testifying. Ambassador, a couple things jumped out at me in your testimony. In your opening statement, you say, Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make a public statement announcing investigations of the 2016 election DNC server in Burisma. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we knew that these investigations were important to the President. That last sentence is interesting. No conditionality, no modifiers. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States. Mr. Giuliani communicates in colorful and memorable terms. What did Mr. Giuliani say to you that caused you to say that he is expressing the desires of the President of the United States?
Mr. Himes, when that was originally communicated, that was before I was in touch with Mr. Giuliani directly. So this all came through Mr. Volker and others.
So Mr. Volker told you that he was expressing the desires of the President of the United States?
Correct.
And subsequently, when you saw the transcript of the July 25th conversation with President Zelensky, you put it all together and, yeah, this is the desire of the President of the United States.
After I saw the July 25th
reading. Right, okay. Other thing that is interesting here, the theme of your testimony today is that everybody knew and signed off, which is a little different from what we've heard, right? We've heard this from others saying that your effort out there was irregular, it was shadow foreign policy, characterized as a drug deal. And by the way, that was not a Democratic characterization, despite what Mr. Nunes says. That, of course, was the National Security Advisor of the United States characterizing it as a drug deal. What confuses me is that you have said and testified, and it's in here, that the Secretary of State was not only aware, but that he applauded you. Good work. Keep banging away. The Secretary of State, if this had been a regular or a drug deal or a shadow foreign policy, he would have been the one to put an end to it, and yet he did not, right?
Well, the Secretary of State, I think, was taking into account the totality of what I had been working on, you know, globally, and saying, you're doing a great job, including this.
Right. Okay. So he was aware of what you were doing, and you're doing a great job includes this.
Yes.
So in some sense, he was validating it rather than saying this was irregular or shadow or a drug deal.
We never thought it was irregular. We thought it was in the center lane.
And why do you think the Secretary of State thought that?
Why did he think
that this was a worthy thing to do when so many senior people, including the National Security Advisor, thought it was a drug deal?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Okay. To your knowledge, did he have communications with the president about this?
I have no knowledge of his communications with the president.
Okay. Let me take you to the July 26 call that we've talked a little bit about. You basically haven't disputed Mr. Holmes's characterization of that report, although perhaps the mention of Biden, you don't recall that. I'm actually pretty confident we'll get a transcript of that call. A conversation in public between a high-profile ambassador and the President of the United States will be the top target, not for one, but for many foreign intelligence services. And because it's pretty sensitive stuff to this inquiry, and pretty sensitive stuff because this information could be used to embarrass the President or leverage public officials, my guess is we're going to see the transcript. Our people are pretty good, and if other people have it, we're going to see this transcript. Until then, all we've got is your recollection. And the testimony of the other people there. So I'm curious about your frame of mind. This statement, the Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give a fig, not the word used, about Ukraine. Is that a statement you might make? Do you believe that the president doesn't give a fig about Ukraine?
Congressman, are you referring to the call or are you referring to my conversation?
So Mr. Holmes recounts, and I'll read it to you, Ambassador Sondland agreed that the president did not give a fig about Ukraine. Ukraine, fig was not the word used there. And I'm asking you whether it's plausible that he might have heard that, because I'm asking you whether you believe that the president does not give a fig about Ukraine.
I think that's too strong. I think that based on the May 23rd meeting, the president was down on Ukraine for the reasons mentioned and would need a lot of convincing, and that's why we're pushing so hard for the meeting between the president and President Zelensky, because we thought once the two of them would meet, his impression of Ukraine, his stock about Ukraine would go up.
And what about this line? And Ambassador Sondland replied that he meant, quote unquote, big stuff that benefits the president. That's what you meant by big stuff. So again, we don't have the transcript. I suspect we will. But is that something you might say? Do you believe that the president really considers big stuff to be that which benefits him?
I don't recall saying benefits him.
No, I understand that. I'm not asking what you recalled. I'm asking whether it's plausible that you might have said that because you believe, I'm asking you what you believe right now, that the president doesn't give a fig about Ukraine and in fact cares about the big stuff that benefits the president. Do you believe that now?
I really can't opine.
Wait, I'm not asking for your opinion. I'm asking for your beliefs.
I don't understand your question. I want to answer your question. I just don't understand.
Let me try one more time.
Okay.
Do you believe what is alleged that you said on this phone call, that the president cares primarily about stuff, the big stuff that benefits the president? Is that a belief?
I don't think the president said that on the phone call. I don't think the president said that to me on the phone call. I was talking about
the time of the gentleman.
ASAP Rocky, and he mentioned investigations. I don't know why you're...
Time of the gentleman has expired. Mr. Conaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield 6 minutes to Mr. Jordan.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Ambassador, when did it happen?
When did what happen?
The announcement. When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said you couldn't fit it in. Is that right? You said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
No.
Couldn't fit it in a 23-page opener. The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the President of the United States in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the President says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics, his party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in a 23-page opening statement. You know what a quid pro quo is?
I do.
This for that, right? Looks to me like Ukraine got that three times. There was no this. We didn't do anything. Or excuse me, they didn't have to do anything. I've never seen anything like that. And this is when the call came out. Y'all remember this? When the call came out, everyone said, we're going to quid pro quo. There's going to be that was what was in the call. And of course, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Remember what the complaint said? Remember what the memo said of the whistleblower? This call was frightening. This call was scary. All those things. None of that materialized. None of that materialized. I yield back.
Remind me not to ever be cross-examined by Jim Jordan. By the way, President Trump reacting earlier today to exactly what you just heard discussed, as he was pointing out that, he said he didn't want anything.
I want nothing. That's what I want from Ukraine. That's what I said. I want nothing. I said it twice.
All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't know him very well. I have not spoken to him much. This is not a man I know well. Seems like a nice guy, though. But I don't know him well. He was with other candidates. He actually supported other candidates. Not me. Came in late.
Yeah, Dalton, we may need to get that cut up for the intro of Midday Mobile. We launched the new ones, 155 FM Talk, 106.5. And we're about to wrap it up. Feinbaum on the way in just a couple minutes. Those clips from the president as he was speaking, as you can hear, some, I think that was Marine One. I think that was a helicopter in the background of that one versus Air Force One. Yeah, that was definitely the wine. That was the wine of Marine One, the helicopter, as the president was giving some comments as the testimony has been going on. Gosh, it got started at 8 o'clock our time, and it rolls on with this impeachment hearing, Ambassador Sondland. The feature, President Trump once again talking about, did he ask for nothing?
I say to the ambassador in response, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky, President Zelensky, to do the right thing. So here's my answer. I want nothing. I want nothing.
All right. So I take it from that that he wanted nothing. And that's where we'll wrap it up on the take of today. Unless something else comes out, we'll put it up on Twitter or our Facebook page, which, by the way, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. I don't talk about it enough, but we get lots of messages from y'all over there. Appreciate that. facebook.com/FMTalk1065. I spend most of my time on the Twitter feed at FMTalk1065, so you can always hit me up over there. And we got the Instagram page up as well, where we'll take... Dalton, that's what we'll do tomorrow. Because we've been derelict. Been derelict in our duties for populating the Instagram page with photos. Now, I've got a separate one, but the station one. So we'll take a lot of photos tomorrow of the setup at the J.C. Davis Auditorium for the AL1 congressional debate and put it up there, and then maybe some pictures during the event as well. Excited about that tomorrow. Also, like we said, the grand prize giveaway in the Go Play Outside contest. We'll make that announcement, and then we'll be heading to Chickasaw tomorrow afternoon to get set up and ready to see y'all starting. Once again, the debate starts at 6. Please get there a little bit early, 5:30 or so. Come in and get a seat and enjoy the debate. You got to have that Eventbrite ticket. Remember, if you'll go through, even if you don't go to, if you do nothing but email, you can send us an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at FMTalk1065.com, and I'll send you the link, or Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at FMTalk1065.com. We'll send you the link. It's a free, it doesn't cost you anything, but Eventbrite, when you click the ticket on Eventbrite, it lets them know how many people are coming. So Eventbrite ticket link we can send to you, or you can go to our website. If you go to fmtalk1065.com and look at three big things, you know, where we list our top news stories of the day. If you put the, if you click the congressional debate story, go to the bottom. The link is there. It's also posted on the Twitter feed I was mentioning earlier at fmtalk1065 and over at facebook.com/fmtalk1065. So click that link. It's a free deal. You'll get your, ticket printout there. It doesn't cost you anything. It just lets the folks know at the J.C. Davis Auditorium how many seats they got to have out for us, which is turning out to be a whole bunch, which makes me very, very proud of y'all. All right, good deal. Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to you in the morning for Mobile Mornings.